You are listening to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Which of the two biblical characters is the greater? Moses, who gave us the law, or Jesus Christ? We'll talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we return our thanks to you that as our hearts are being prepared for the Christmas season, that you will speak to us through your holy word in a very direct way. Help us to understand, O God, what this Christmas celebration is all about, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the God incarnate, the one who has come into this world to redeem us from our sins. Bathe us in this biblical truth, and grant, O God, that it may be the very foundation of our faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, beginning at verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, the weeks have rolled around and we're about to celebrate Christmas, so we are in that preparation period. What are we really going to celebrate? What is the real meaning of Christmas? Some of the Christmas preparations sends us off to various Christmas parties, Christmas programs, and many of those Christmas programs are very enriching as far as our spiritual life is concerned. I go to some of those Sunday school programs, and I listen to those little children as they tell us again and again that there has been born to us this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. When you hear them sing the Christmas carols, you can only be inspired and pray that that message that rings out from their little bodies now may be also found in their souls during the years to come. There are, however, some Christmas programs that, for me at least, as a Christian, are rather offensive. I imagine that you could say that it's being narrow-minded. But when I go to what is supposed to be a Christmas program and hear very little about Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and carols are sung that try to give as little recognition to Jesus Christ as possible, I come home feeling empty. And I am told that the reason for that is we must not be offensive to those in the group who are not Christian. But what about those who are Christians? And this is done in the name of the birthday of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, you can sense that I am somewhat aggravated, and I become very rebellious when people ask me to speak at Christmas and try not to be offensive to the unchristian person who is there. This is an impossibility as far as I am concerned. So at the beginning of the Advent season, we need to get it straight. What are we celebrating at Christmas time? And for that, we go to the Bible. Listen once again that verse or two that I have already read for you. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Now, what does this really mean, friend? It says, for example, that he has sent Christ to redeem us who are under the law. That word redeem means to buy back. In other words, we are away from God. What is it that set us away from God? It is our sin, the sin with which we are born, the sin that we commit every single day of our lives. God cannot accept that sin. He can forgive it, but he can never condone it. Sin has been paid for, therefore, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ coming into this world as a baby at Bethlehem's manger is God entering in to time. He enters into time, and Jesus walks on this earth for 33 years. During that time, he suffers, and finally he dies. That death at the cross was a payment, a sacrifice for your sins and mine, that we might be restored into fellowship with God. And then 3 days after he died, he rose from the grave. So he is our resurrected Lord, and through that, he has made it possible for us to be restored into fellowship with God. And as our text says today, through that sacrifice and by Jesus Christ coming to earth, and that's what Advent and that's what Christmas is all about, we have the offering of the forgiveness of sin. In other words, God says, this is what I want to give you. I want to bring you back into fellowship with me. And so in another portion of God's word found in the first chapter of St. John, we read that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to those who received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. In other words, he did not come as a teacher. We didn't need that. We didn't need another Moses. Moses did a good job. He was that man of God who received the law and passed it on to his people, continually answered to God for their sins. But there is a sharp difference between Moses and Jesus Christ. And therefore, there is a sharp difference between the humanist who lives in our day and the Christian. I sometimes are amazed how hard we try to make Christianity fit into our culture. This is an absolute impossibility, friend. The culture is humanistic. The culture deals with the human being. The culture deals with this idea that I have power enough to write my own life. But the Christian faith says that what we were not able to do, Jesus Christ has done. But in order for him to do that, it was necessary for him to come into this world. And that's what he does at Bethlehem's manger. What an offer it is. Here God says, okay, you walked away from me in sin. I did not discard you, but rather I came in the person of Jesus Christ to make you an heir of my kingdom. And I am the one way. It is at this particular point that the Christian faith becomes terribly offensive. I understand. But it is nevertheless the biblical message that the church of Jesus Christ can never sacrifice and remain the church. You see, that's why well-meaning people say, well, it's Christmas time, and it's such a glorious time of the year, and that it certainly is. And we can have such a great time together. Now let's join our hands and our hearts and our voices and together sing the great songs of the Christmas time. But let's kind of play down this whole idea that Jesus is the Savior, because that would be very, very offensive to that person who has not come to that place in his life or her life as yet. But this is an absolute impossibility. I have said to my friends from time to time, when they have asked me to come to a non-religious meeting and tell them a little bit about Christmas, and I have said I will be glad to come. But I have to come with a message. And during the course of the time that I'm there in your midst, I will tell you about Jesus as being God. And they say, well, maybe we better not have that kind of a message. And so something else comes in place of that. Well, here then, in the Word of God, we have this picture recorded in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel about that day when Jesus Christ actually came. You can read that in the first chapter of Matthew, and I would urge you to do that. Or you can turn to the second chapter of Luke, and there you get just a little more detailed picture of what happened on that particular day. You'll recall, now this is in preparation. This is a first Sunday in Advent. We're getting ready for Christmas in the right time. And that right time was during the day that Caesar Augustus was the emperor of the Roman Empire. And there was one by the name of Quirinius who was the governor of Syria. You see, they marked this day by who's in power, who is ruling. It would be like this particular event happened. September 11th happened during the Bush administration. That's one way to recall the exact time. And so on that particular day, Jesus Christ came into this world in a manger at Bethlehem. There in that manger, because there was no room in the inn, our Lord was born. And we sing all kinds of great hymns about that birth. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. But you know, friend, here it's very important for us to realize that that baby is a God incarnate. Take that away and you really have no Christmas. That is the very core of it all. Why is it that we shy away from that? Well, I imagine partly it's because here is a very mysterious part of Christmas. See, you and I can understand that a child is born. They're born every day, aren't they? And we can perhaps even understand that he was born in some very unpleasant circumstances. No room for him in the inn. He couldn't even be born at home. Say nothing about a hospital. Yeah, those things make sense. But when we begin to say that baby is a God incarnate, he is a God man, what does that mean? It is God who has come to this world and clothed himself in the form of a human being to walk among us. Now we begin to say, isn't that getting just a little far out? Well, if our minds are to determine what is truth and what is probably myth, then obviously this would be put into the category of myth. But when in faith we take the word of God as it has been revealed to us, then we know that this God is the one who has come to be our Savior. You see, we didn't need just another religious leader. There were all kinds of those, and there are some who have come since then. We are not people who need another law. We can't keep the law that God has already given to us, but we need one who can come to redeem us. In the fullness of time, God sent into this world his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who comes to offer us the good news. He offers us the forgiveness of our sins. He is the one who offers us hope. If you're wondering today about what future you have, then turn to the Lord Jesus. He is the one who can tell you, I can lead you, I can guide you, I'll direct you, and I'll make your life new. If you're saying, I wish that I could change some of those things in my personality that I've had to carry from day one, it seems. Perhaps I inherited some of these traits from my father and my mother that are not so desirable. Or maybe I picked them up being raised in that home background that I had, good as it was. I wish they could change. I wish they could become more loving, you might say. I wish I could be more forgiving of people. Well, this is the Lord Jesus who has come to live in our hearts, come to make us his sons and his daughters, so that we could cry out to him, Abba, Father. The other one, my Father, our Father. This is the one I really and truly need. He is the one who has come to give us a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not an impersonal one, but one where we can meet him every hour of the day, and one who walks with us as long as we are here. Yes, we are beginning to celebrate again the birth of Jesus Christ, who is the God incarnate. That is, he has put on a body again, to be repetitious, and he walks among us. Isn't that a marvelous message? This is for you and for me. That's what we're celebrating. Can't you see how pathetic it is when we take all of this goodness of God and that tremendous message that he wants to bring to us, and we reduce it to something that our poor minds can understand, and that we've got another great master and a great teacher, and so we come to our programs wherever they are in the community, and we discuss our Christian traditions and what the tradition was if we were a Norwegian or an Italian or a Swede or a Dane or whatever else it might be. All these things may be interesting, and we can put them into Christmas if you wish. But the primary point of Christmas is to tell the story of Jesus and to be reminded of it again. It is a story that evokes all kinds of emotions. And so during these next 5 weeks, I'm going to talk to you, God willing, about some of these people and their emotion. For example, there is the innkeeper, whom we'll talk about next week. He has a very indifferent spirit. Do you know that there's one out in the manger? Who has just given birth to a babe? Yeah, so what? We're going to talk about this fellow and see how he works out in life today. There is also Mary, who's standing in awe. When the angel announced to her that she is going to give birth to a child who is a God incarnate, she can't understand it. How can this possibly be? We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the shepherds, who are out in the fields watching their flocks by night, and all of these lights shone round about them. What does the Bible say? They were afraid. There's a lot of fear in this world today. There's a lot of fear in our hearts. And we're going to hear once again that word from God, fear not, fear not, for I am with you. We're going to see old Simeon again as he receives the Lord Christ. This is after Christmas, and there is peace. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. I have met the Christ, and all is well. And then we're finally going to get a look at that old Herod, who was angry, who was disgusted with this whole message, who was threatened by Jesus Christ, and see if there are any Herods who walk among us today. All these things should make us understand better why God came, to be the God incarnate, that is sure, to walk among us and to be tempted in all places as we have, yet without sin. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, when we learn from your word that that babe is a God incarnate, we need help from you. Open up our hearts and our minds and create within our being faith, faith that reaches out and is able to comprehend that God walked on this earth, that he suffered and died at a cross, and that through him we have the forgiveness of our sin. God, we pray that in this Advent season, as our hearts are being prepared through the preaching and the reading of your word, that there may be many who meet Christ, and those who do not know him, that they may come to know him, and those who know about him may come to really experience his love. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you during this busy Advent season. For 66 years, Christian Crusaders has proclaimed Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and as our personal Savior to all who believe. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. Each gift helps us proclaim the gospel message. We thank our listeners for your generous support. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.